Leaning Toward Wisdom, it is episode 4122. Yes, that's episode 4122.
Your face before, tucked away behind an open door where you could not see me and I could not be seen by anyone. Drifting farther from a distant shore, fox creeping in, I can't see no more with nothing to decree and no one will believe me anymore. This is not me. Can't see, it's a walk in a blind light. It won't let go, you never know. It's a walk in a blind light. And when it's over, change the facts. Help me slow down the attack. I will follow your steps back to where they lead. Straight ahead into a foreign state. Attempt to renegotiate, I hope you will agree. The light is getting blurrier to me. Falling back till see the sun. I can hear as well as anyone. I think by now you know. While time goes fast, it's slower than it seems. This is not you, this is not true. It's a walk in the blind.
They are the Candles. It is from a 2013 record, La Candelaria. It is $9.99 where downloadable digital music is sold. This is the group's second record. They were formed in New York City in 2009. You may know them today as the backup band for Norah Jones. They're a backup band for a number of people. The guys are good. I like the record. I like them a lot. And I'm going to steal today's title from the lyric that they sing, "When It's Over, Change the Facts."
Can't see, it's a walk in a blind light. It won't let go, you never know. It's a walk in a blind light. And when it's over, change the facts. Help me slow down the attack.
Hey kids, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. It is episode 4122. LeaningTowardWisdom.com is the website where you will find all the great content that we produce here. He says snarkily, "When it's over, change the facts." Boy, so many things that I could talk about, and so many directions that I suppose we could take. I was a kid, but it struck me as funny when an old person would make a remark about remembering it the way it should have been. Because, you know, rewriting history is kind of a time-honored tradition, I think, among older people. If you go to the website, type in the search bar on your mobile device, it will be at the bottom of the page. On your desktop or laptop, it will be over in the right-hand margin. There's a place for you to just enter a search bar that where you can just type the number. This is the reason that we have podcast episode numbers. At least it's why I do it. Just type in the number 4122, and it'll take you there. There's a photograph of young me holding Ryan and Renee when they were just babies. Ryan was just a wee toddler, and his sister was a baby, and I'm laying on the sofa, and Rhonda, I mean, who else could have taken the photograph, takes a photograph with me holding these two kids. I selected that photograph. It's just the photograph that kind of came to my mind when I started thinking about today's show. And as I was listening to these guys sing, and that lyric kept leaping out at me, "When it's over, change the facts, when it's over, change the facts." And even though I could go a number of directions, and we're just going to kind of see how this goes, I'm hoping that it goes terribly well. And if it doesn't, then I'm sure that you will, I'm sure that we'll both look back with regret and think, well, there's some things we would have changed. I Googled the phrase selective recall. You have heard this term before, and according to OxfordReference.com, and I'm reading, "The unconscious distortions involved in human recollection, as with selective perception, from which it is difficult to separate recall, several standardizing processes have a transformative function: addition, deletion, subtraction, transposition." Did you get all that? Because I'm not nearly smart enough to figure out what in the Sam Hill all of that meant. The first one clearly makes some sense. You kind of have to stop and, I guess, ponder it for a second. The unconscious distortions involved in human recollection. Now, I don't know that it's always unconscious, though, because I know some people who clearly have consciously changed facts. They have absolutely convinced themselves that certain things happen in a certain way that's just completely inaccurate. Conscious, unconscious. I guess it's up for debate, but it's still a distortion of human recollection. Selective attention and selective recall basically are things that cause us to see what we want to see. And maybe sometimes more appropriately, they cause us to refuse to see things that we really ought to see. And if you want to see video for today's show, by the way, go to Facebook. Actually, just go to leaningtowardwisdom.com and join the Facebook group, because that's where you'll see video. It's a talking head video. But, hey, my facial expressions can be pretty entertaining, or so I'm told. We see what we want to see. We refuse to see what we don't want to see. And I think it's why it can be funny and it can be sad all at the same time when people remember things the way they should have been instead of the way that they really absolutely were. And it's the delusional aspect, I suppose, of us changing the facts when it's over. But there is a more positive aspect of changing the facts when it's over. And that really is kind of what I want to talk about today. That's kind of where I want to shift this conversation. And it's not what you thought it was. When it's over, change the facts. I don't mean change them in our head. I don't mean for us to live delusional. I mean, it's what we call repentance.
Away. I knew
Failed to tell you that the first track, the name of the first track is Blind Light, and the name of this track, these are in order, by the way, that they appear on the record. The name of this song is Believe You Now. Candelaria, 2013 record, Believe You Now is the name of that song. They sing, I'm sorry for the things I did, and dictionary.com defines repentance as deep sorrow, compunction, or contrition for a past sin, wrongdoing, or the like, regret for any past action. Now that doesn't quite do it justice. I mean, it goes beyond... Repentance goes beyond a mere feeling to an action. Repentance is way more than just regret. Repentance is enough regret to make a change, to turn. It's an act of turning. Namely, that's really what repentance is, change. Change, opposite direction, kind of a change. It's looking back and deciding that, you know, what I did there, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to make a different choice the next time. When faced with that same decision, I'm going to choose differently next time. It means that if you had it to do over, you would do it differently. I'm always fascinated. Now, that's not the right word. I'm more irked. I'm more irked by people who say, when they look back over some, particularly something that they clearly did wrong, some clearly bad behavior, and try to exclaim, you know, well, I wouldn't do anything differently. Well, you're an idiot. I mean, what kind of a fool is that? We're leaning toward wisdom. It's Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. We are trying to lean more toward wisdom and further away from our own foolishness. It's just sheer foolishness to look back at things that we clearly know now in hindsight, we got that wrong. We just got it wrong. If we had it to do over, now knowing what we know, we would better get it right. Hopefully. That's what it's about when it's over, change the facts. It's that hindsight stuff, and it really is what our individual and our collective efforts are all about here. In this community, it's what this leaning is all about. If we're not leaning toward repentance, which to me is really a sober consideration of mistakes that we've made. and a real conscious decision to do things differently, to do things better, then I think if we're doing that, then we're clearly leaning toward wisdom. And if we fail to do that, then we're leaning toward foolishness, to look back and think, nah, nothing I'd do different. We want to use the past for our advantage. We do not want to use the past for our disadvantage. It's that simple. Now, sometimes we are not able to see the past quite accurately. Sometimes we look at the past and, yeah, our head trash, our delusions, they don't serve us. They serve, they try to serve us to make us feel better about it, I guess. But, you know, sometimes, I mean, the very definition of repentance is deep sorrow. Well, that ain't fun. It's not fun to experience deep sorrow. It's profitable if the sorrow is deep enough to compel us to change, to grow, to improve, to transform. It's that whole GIT thing that I kind of ramble on about, G-I-T, growth, improvement, transformation. I mean, these are the important things. We don't want to be delusional where we choose to remember the past inaccurately, and we choose to say, well, I would have made a different choice, but he or she or they or this. No, now we're just looking for excuses. Now we're just making excuses. No, it's where we look back at the past and we see that we came to some decision, we made the decision, we chose a behavior, we said something, we did something, we neglected to do something. Now, with 2020 hindsight, yeah, we would do it differently now. We would get it right if we had it to do over. Track number 3 from the Candles, La Candelaria. The name of the song is Hello Blue. They do sing here, "Goodbye to my past decisions," and then later, "Goodbye to my past misgivings." Is that what they sing? You know, maybe you need to change some things in your past. Maybe there are some things in your past that, okay, you would like to go back and change the facts. And maybe you have the opportunity to do that. I mean, there are some things that we can go back and fix. Maybe there is some forgiveness that you can go back and you can extend. Maybe there is some forgiveness that you can go back and seek. Maybe there is some bitterness that you can let go of. Maybe there is some bitterness that somebody else is harboring that you can try to help them unburden. So I'm all in favor of us going back to change the facts when it's over, if we can, but it's not always possible. I mean, sometimes we make choices and decisions and they just are what they are. And it's done and it's over. And while, yes, we absolutely need to seek forgiveness and we need to correct these things as we're able, sometimes you can't undo it, right? You can't unring the bell. Whatever we can do to repair the past, I'm a big believer that that needs to be done. And I think it needs to be done, A, because it's the right thing to do, and B, because it's good for us. It's good for us. We don't have to get all wrapped up in the head trash of worried about the other person. If we serve ourselves, forgiveness is a big deal. And not forgiving, well, that's an even bigger deal. And so we need to get busy doing that so that we can make today and tomorrow better. I jotted down a few notes, as I am wont to do, to prepare for these shows. And the first thing that I wrote was husband or spouse regrets. There is the photograph of me over the website. I'm looking at it as I'm recording this. And there I am as, I don't know, I'm probably 25. Long time ago, right? I mean, a long, long time ago. I got a full head of hair. It's all black. I got a mustache. It's black. I kind of got the tan going, you know, I kind of got this youthful vibrance going. And there is this son who's now 37, who's all of 2 years old here. Long time ago, a lot of water under the bridge and over the dam. Now, as a deep communicator, I will go ahead and confess to you, I never sought out, I never had a communicative mentor for being a husband. I just didn't. I never had somebody that could serve me to point out, hey, dude, here's some potholes right here. You know, you as a husband, and I had been married at the time, going on 5 years. And you can think, 5 years, man alive, you know, you had a lot figured out. No. I may have thought I had a lot figured out. But now I look back in hindsight, and I realize so many things that I did get wrong. And when it's over, and although it's not over, but I look at that photograph and that period of my life is over. And so I look back at those days and I look back at that time period. And I look back at all the various other milestones in my life as a father. And I look back, yeah, when it's over, change the facts. And again, I don't mean delusionally to change them in my head or that I can go back and change them, but I can change them in that I can repent. I can change them in the sense that I can be better today because of the things that I got wrong then. And where I need to make reparations with my now adult children, I can do that too. I let it happen. I absolutely let it happen. I mean, that guy that you see in the picture, if you go over to the website leaningtowardwisdom.com, episode 4122, that guy you see lying on that sofa with these two kids in his arms is a guy who who didn't always get it right. In fact, I'll go you one better. He's a guy who very often did not get it right. I put one foot in front of the other, just like we probably all did. That doesn't make it right. Until these habits formed, right? And habits that I wish I would have curbed sooner. Mostly, it is the lost time that I regret. Time spent being stupid. Time spent in things that don't really matter. Time spent in really agonizing and worrying and fretting over things that, now that I look back, pretty trivial, actually. Certainly trivial compared to these two kids that are in my arms and how important that they were to me then and how important they are to me now and all that stuff that I think in many cases dads, moms too, but dads worry about in trying to provide and just all the responsibilities that go with being a parent, a father or a mother, and just all the burdens of that. And it happens to us typically when we're young and stupid, but arrogant enough to think that we got all the answers. And there probably is something to that, by the way, that serves us very well, because if we didn't have that kind of confidence, well, wouldn't we just wither?
On the long ride back home, the sky was dark, the air was cold. This I know, you're my passenger down this endless road. You sure are a friend of mine, never meant.
It is track number 4, and the name of the song is Passenger. They are the Candles.
I guess you know just what that means. It's impossible to set you free. You're my passenger, and you'll always.
Passenger is the name of the song. I did episode 4109, where the title of the episode was I Want You on My Passenger Side. And for me, that was a girl that I fell in love with, who I'm still married to. And Lord willing, in January, we will celebrate 40 years of marital. Okay, let's call it bliss. It has been mostly. But there are some things that I would do differently. I would like some do-overs as her husband. I would like some do-overs as a spouse. We're wired very differently. and we communicate very differently. And there are so many things that I wish I would have known in at the time that that photograph was taken that's over at the website, you know, five years into marriage and about 3 years of dating prior to that. There are still some things that I wish I would have done some heavier lifting early on to learn some things and figure some things out that quite frankly just took way too long to figure out through no fault of hers, just through my own hardheadedness and stupidity and whatever else, whatever other head trash that I had going on. But, you know, part of it is when you're 25 or so, when you're young, when you marry young, and we did, and you have kids, you know, within the first 3 years, you have your first, and then before your fifth anniversary, you've got two, and your family is complete, and you're still, I mean, you know, you're still 5 years away from 30. Yeah, it was a different era. Come on, we got married on January 2nd, 1978. So it was a different time, and we had a lot of friends, and you know, we were all getting married. But there's just so much that you don't know about yourself. I catch myself today now as an old man really urging younger people in my life to really get to know themselves better. And while that may seem to them to be a bit of a selfish admonition, it's not. I wish I would have known myself. That guy in the picture that I'm looking at right now, I wish I would have known that guy better. I wish I would have understood him better. And I think back now and think, man, if that guy knew then what this guy today knows, I would have been so much better. But it's not possible, right? I often tell some of these younger people the advantage that I've got being my age, I've been your age. The disadvantage you've got is you've never been my age. You've never been this is the oldest you've ever been. And I've, you know, in many cases, I'm 40 years past you or more. So I've just got way more highway behind me. But thankfully, I have lived long enough that when it's over, change the facts is an opportunity for me. It's an opportunity for me now to be a better husband, a better spouse in every way. And shouldn't I? Well, absolutely I should. And so should you. Whatever time you've got behind you and underneath you, you should be better today. You should look back and you should, when it's over, change the facts. Repent. Make some things right. Fix some things. Correct some things. Change some things. But then I wrote down father or parent regrets. And boy, there are way too many to list here. But I suspect that it's these regrets that, if properly handled, spur me. And maybe you too, if you're an older person like me and you've got grown kids who have kids, for us to become decent, even good, maybe even great. Great. And I don't mean it in the legacy sense, but I mean it in the descriptive sense. Grandparents. To be great as grandparents. Professional drive spilled over into my home. Maybe it did you too. And I just was not able to compartmentalize the ambitions that I had as a professional, as a guy trying to make a name for himself, trying to carve out, you know, some place in the world where you could make a professional difference and where you could elevate your income and achieve more and be somebody and all that stuff. And so I drove hard. I probably drove too hard. Pressed too much, and I should have let things breathe more. And today, younger people and nearly everybody in my life will hear me use that phrase quite a lot. You know, let it breathe. I do that for a reason, because you're looking in the face of an older guy. If you're watching the video of this, again, if you're not in the Facebook group, you won't be able to see this. So go to the Facebook group. You're looking at a guy today who learned the hard way that you do need to let some things breathe. There needs to be some margin. There needs to be some white space. I was 23 when I became a dad, and again by 25 had both kids on the ground. And so life was challenging, man, in every way for both of us as parents. It's not an excuse. It's truth. It's just truth. It's my own truth. And even for mature people like us at the time, and we thought we were mature, and frankly, we were mature for our age. But boy, there's just still so much that you're still trying to figure out, and you're having to do this live. You're having to do this without a net in front of a live audience, by the way. But how do you rehearse for that kind of a thing? You know, it's, you're not like a garage band. You can't just go play before you get up in front of a crowd. You're up in front of a crowd. You learn on the job training, which means that you're often going to get it wrong. And I'm sure we both did. I know that I myself, as a father, I absolutely got it wrong. Being a grandfather, that's giving me a shot at redemption, don't you see? That's giving me a shot at repentance, because when it's over, change the facts.
On this evening, I sure feel fine. I've been watching the blue in your eyes, knowing there to keep you from doing what you're gonna do. But there's got to be something else for you. When the shots ring out loud, you hear them below, but the tracks never fade. But the difference between is clear, but you never fear for yourself as far as I know. I feel restless, the sky is burned, this relentlessness shall turn. You can try and tell me why the sun is never in doubt, but it disappears when the moon is out. When the shots ring out loud, you hear them below, but the tracks never fade. And the difference between is clear, but you never fear for yourself as far as I know.
Track number 5, name of the song is As Far As I Know, The Candles, La Candelaria.
On this evening, I sure feel fine. It's impossible to rewind. Turn around. Come on back, I understand, but you got to do for yourself when you can. When the shots ring out loud, you hear them below, but the tracks never fade. And the difference between is clear, but you never fear for yourself as far. As I know.
You may not be married, you may not have kids, but you certainly have a career or vocation, and I have career and vocation regrets. And probably like the others, you know, for me, the question is, man, where do you begin? Where to even begin? So many choices that I wish I would have made. But again, fools don't have regrets. And if we're going to lean toward wisdom, then we're going to have regrets. And I have plenty. I fell into selling stereo equipment because I loved music, and instead of diving into being creative, which I was, I chose practical, and mostly because mostly because I think it was my time. I'm a baby boomer. And we who are baby boomers were brought up by those World War II vets. And we had a worldview that was very influenced by their worldview. And that worldview, frankly, was very practical. But I'm not going to blame it entirely on that because I am wired. I am hardwired. And I am by nature, I think, bent to be very practical. I think I am mostly a practical guy. Some days I wish I weren't, but mostly I think it's okay, and mostly I embrace it. You know, these days I really don't belabor thinking too much about what I wish I would have done professionally instead. Rather, I'm finding that increasingly I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the current opportunities. Mostly today, as I hit the record button, today is Friday, November the 17th, 2017. Today, mostly, I am very thankful to have a chance to pivot, which I've been pivoting for about 2 years now, into a space that I really believe in. The space is peer advisory group, serving business owners and leaders and executives as a what some have termed. In fact, it's what this book behind me, The Power of Peers by Leon Shapiro and Leo Battari, it's what they call the smart guide, the facilitator of such groups. It's a private, confidential, small group of people who are driven to grow. They're driven to grow themselves as people. They're driven to grow themselves as leaders. They're driven to help one another do the same. And they're all driven to grow their own enterprise, their business, their organization. And all my life, I've been heading toward this work. I didn't know it, obviously, because it was about 2 years ago that it became quite clear to me. And it was about 2 years ago that this thing began to really resonate with me. And it was a difficult path to morph from running the show, which is what I had done since I was in my 20s, to not running quite my own show in the sense of really running kind of what I would term a traditional business, as opposed to being kind of a solopreneur, which is really what I am today, to helping other people run their business. This was just a space that instantly resonated with me. And I immediately thought, I'm so wired for this. This is great. And I had no experience at it. I had not been a participant in any kind of a group like this. I didn't even have knowledge that this stuff went on. And sadly, it doesn't go on very much. It's a fraction of a percent of business owners and CEOs and leaders who take advantage of peer advisory, that is, surrounding themselves by other people who are in the same boat they're in. And together they can battle this loneliness. Well, everything that I've done professionally has led me to this point where I'm now eminently qualified to do this work, but I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming a million miles away. I started to say I don't waste time, but it's probably more accurate to say I try, and there's a big phrase there, big word. I try not to waste time on what I could have been, what I could have done. But come on, if you live to be old enough, you can't, I don't think that you can ever completely fool yourself into not ever thinking about what might have been. You hear, especially younger people, you know, preach this advice, you know, go visit any nursing home or anything, and what you'll find is you'll find people who regret what they didn't do. Well, don't be that person. I got news for you. You're going to be that person, unless you're an idiot or unless you're a fool. You're going to have regrets. There are moments where I will permit myself. I will give myself free rein to fantasize, I guess, about what might have been for me professionally. But man, I will always very quickly return to the reality of being so grateful and realizing how blessed I am. And that so trumps for me, and I hope it does for you too, that so trumps any regret. And so I'm just working harder every day, day by day, to be more grateful. More grateful for the opportunities that I've got, more grateful that I'm living in a day and age. I've lived long enough to see the internet, kids. I mean, you know, come on. You've grown up never been without it, perhaps. I was about 40 years old when it came to fruition. So I'm in that age bracket where we've seen so stinking much change, you know, a life before cell phones, a life before fax machines, a life before the internet and email. And it's pretty terrific to have kind of one foot in that world and yet quickly bringing both feet into the modern current world. And it's just a different perspective. And I'm finding it useful. I just am. And I'm leaning into it really hard because it fuels gratitude. It absolutely fuels gratitude that we're living in a day and age where we can do this. And we can get our message out there and we can say what we want to say. And we can dive however deeply into it we want to. You know, listen, our lives are not perfect. We've all had challenges and problems and difficulties. You've had plenty, and I have had plenty. And it is those imperfections, it's those difficulties, it's those challenges that really, really have served us well. Track number 6, the name of the song is Come In From the Cold. You might not remember everything that came before, and the older you get, the more likely it is you're not going to remember it all. But it doesn't matter if you remember it or not, because the learning still happens. Those tough things, those hardships, those difficulties, they forge us into the people that we are, whether we remember all the sordid details about them or not. And it probably is just as well that we don't, as we get older, remember all the sordid details. You know, great times and successes and achievements, they're great, they're wonderful, they're lovely, and we clamor for them, we chase them, we pursue them with all of our might. We drive ourselves to achieve more and more of them, but they don't seem to define us. They don't seem to define us nearly as accurately as our responses to life's difficulties. Now, we get on LinkedIn, and we get on other social media platforms, and it's those are the things that we focus on. We don't list our failures. We list our achievements, right? It's like this really cool list, you know, this Hall of Fame kind of activity that we have engaged in, and we paint ourselves in the absolute best possible light because it's what people are attracted to. Really? When I'm listening to songs, and I listen to a lot of songs, as you well know, And you know what resonates? And if you've watched any episode of The Voice, you hear these professionals who are sitting in these chairs advising these people, many of whom are very, very young, own it, you know, really own it. You really need to feel it. You really need to open yourself up. You need to show us your vulnerability. If you're not able to show us that, we're not going to see it. It's not going to resonate. It's not going to connect. And it's going to make all the difference in the world. And season in and season out, what do you see? You see the artists who can really do that, the ones who can really pull the mask off and show themselves. The crowd connects. Why is that, do you suppose? Think of the novels. Think of the books. Think of the cartoons. I'm thinking of the cartoons and the things that we laugh at, things that we find funny. They're so stinking human. They're just so stinking human. They're not superhero. They're just the opposite of superhero. And yet we're all working so hard, so vigorously to be the superhero. When in reality, we mostly connect with people that are people. They're real. And that means they got problems. They got issues. They got stuff. They got headaches. They got problems. They got sadness. They've got even moments of despair. But there are also moments where they're laughing, or they're smiling, or they're having a good time. But boy, it's an awful lot of the former to get to a few moments of the latter. And while that may sound like, well, that's an awfully gloomy outlook on life, not at all, not at all. I'm telling you that this is the stuff that serves us. This is the stuff that makes us who we are. Go to anybody's LinkedIn profile and all that great stuff, all these great accomplishments, and maybe these, you know, degree after degree after degree, certification after certification. I mean, I connected with somebody. They reached out to connect to me. I should have counted. There were at least 6 different sets of initials behind their name. I had no earthly idea what these things stood for. This person clearly was proud, and I'm not throwing rocks at anybody for doing that, by the way. I mean, if you're going to do it, LinkedIn's the place to do it. But I remember looking and thinking, my lands, you know, I mean, I got nothing behind my name. If I did have something, it would probably be Chump, you know, Randy Cantrell, Chump. You know, and people would ask me, well, what does CHUMP stand for? And I would just say, Chump. I'm fascinated by the whole mask thing, which is probably why this whole peer advisory kind of thing resonates with me, because to get CEOs or business owners in a room together where they all realize the person across the table, virtual or real, they're just like me. I mean, they're going the same path that I am. They're in a different industry maybe, and they're in a different market perhaps, and their business is completely different, but our problems are not so different. And when we spend time with one another, and the more we spend time with one another in deep conversation, I don't mean in trivial small talk, but when you really are able to have a deep conversation with people and get behind their eyes, you realize we've all got the same stuff, man. We've all got the same worries and the same concerns, and we've all got the same stuff happening to us in our life. And it's pretty stinking common. It's all just pretty stinking common. Come on, it's why songs resonate. The songs that resonate with the masses are the songs that really hit a chord. And they typically are songs about what? They're songs about love. They're songs about lost love. Why? These are universal themes. That's why. Because who among us hasn't loved, and who among us hasn't lost love at some point in our life? And hopefully you have found love. Like I have. We are the total of all these experiences, though. You know, every day I hit the gym. And about 4 months ago, I really ramped up my efforts. I've been going to the gym for years and years and years. Yeah, I know. It doesn't look like it. But it was time. You know, it was just time to drop some weight. It was time to work off a few inches around the middle. And okay, hey, so far so good. But it's arduous work now. I mean, it's just, there's just no escaping it. It is arduous work, both in the kitchen and at the gym. You know, no bread anymore, hardly ever. No crackers, ever. No bad snacks, a lot of oatmeal. Many days, many days of sub 1,000 calories. In fact, quite a few days of 700 calories, especially early on to kind of really kickstart things. But the work, completely worth it. Completely worth it. In how I feel physically, in how I feel emotionally, in how the clothes fit better, and I'm just more comfortable. None of it came easily. Absolutely none of it came easily. Every day it's a grind. It's still a grind. And I started this about 6 months ago, but 4 months ago, really in earnest. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And that may be the focal point of waiting until it's over to change the facts. That is our ability to see the results and decide, okay, well, that was what I wanted. But boy, so often looking back when it's over and going, I should have done better there. I didn't do that justice. And we realized that we're needing to make some adjustments because we didn't get the results that we really wanted. And maybe we got the results that we wanted at the time, but we realized that the results that we wanted at the time, bad choice. Those weren't that wasn't the outcome we should have wanted at the time, because our lives are the sum total of our experiences. Well, really, they're the sum total of all of our choices.
It's just outside Savannah. I stopped to find myself surrounded by the sounds of people living in the light of spring's reminders. I thought I'd found the place where I could settle down.
Number 7. Name of the song is One Way Ticket. I like this song. I like the whole album. Let's pot this down and keep going, shall we? Because, yeah, I got a few more songs to go through, kids. So we'll pot this down so it's not too terribly distracting and let it roll. Our lives are the sum of our choices. And there's no doubt that the people in our life impact that as well. And every decision, every action, every response, it doesn't matter what life has thrown at you, everything and anything that life has thrown at you is involved. And it's your response to these things, because you have responded in some form or fashion, or you have chosen not to respond. That counts too. So it's not just about our responses, but it sometimes is about our neglect to respond, because sometimes Well, sometimes we all hide, right? Problems come our way and we choose rather to hide. That's a response. It's not a good response. Well, I'm trying to think of a time where it would be, but I can't. I mean, I guess if a bear's chasing you. There was some show and there was a woman running from a bear. I looked at Rhonda and I said, what do you do when a bear chases you? She said, well, you don't run from it. And I said, well, what in the same hell do you do? Crawl up in a ball? Go into a fetal position? She said, I think so. Like we know. Thankfully, we don't have bears in our subdivision. So there's that. Hiding's not a good thing to do. When it's over, we need to change the facts. When we look back with hindsight and we realize we got it wrong. Now, we don't always get it wrong. Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes that's just fuel for us to, good, I know I'm on track. And it would that were kind of the greater service for us, but unfortunately, for most of us, it's not. I don't think it is for any of us, by the way. We want to get it right the next time because it's about improving. It's about growing. It's not about being who others think you ought to be, by the way. That seems to be kind of a common conversation among a lot of folks who want to look back with some regret. And some of their regret is not based upon them, but it's based more on mom and dad, a spouse, a close friend, some expectations somebody else has foisted upon them, some imposition. And in fact, it's why I recorded back in episode 4121 about drawing the circle in the sand. And you need to draw that circle. That's your circle. And the stuff inside that circle, that's your stuff. Other people got their stuff, and they will impose that stuff on you. So, yeah, let's carry that theme over into this theme. When it's over changing the facts, well, let's change them based on our own growth and our own improvement. Not necessarily what somebody else may think, even though they may be, the overused phrase, well-intended. Well-intended. It's just not about us being all the time who other people think that we ought to be. It's about our own, I think, our own self-imposed standards, whatever guide you may choose to follow. Now, you know me. If you've listened to me any time at all, you know me. You know my beliefs, and you know my faith in the Bible as being the Word of God because, well, it's just absolutely true. Eternity changes everything. It just changes everything. I believe that. I'm encouraging you to believe that. Because I do believe in a life after this life. And if I didn't, well, I might would live differently. But I choose to live the way I live because I do believe in eternity, and I do believe that eternity does change everything. The truth is that our value really doesn't hinge on a person's ability or their inability to see our worth or to see even us. You know, when it's over changing the facts and being judged by somebody else, because at the end of the day, you got to live with yourself.
Sitting quiet with a bottle in my hand.
We're up to track number 8. The name of the song is Gold. I don't know all the roles that you serve as a human being. I mean, the roles are all different for all of us. A gal named Marcy Albohor, you can find her at Hey Marcy, and it's M-R-C-I. She wrote a book that was basically about the slashes behind our name. And no, it's not those designations that you see over at LinkedIn that I mentioned. It's these various roles. For me, it would be Randy Cantrell, comma, or slash, Christian, slash, husband, slash, father, slash, grandfather. Now, there are other roles that I serve, but these are the big ones, right? I mean, these are the important ones. And the ones that are closest to our name, she appropriately argues, and it's absolutely true, the ones closest to our name, they're the important ones. And the more distance you get away from your name with the slashes, they're still important, right? Being a grandfather is still important. It's not as important as being a Christian. It's not as important as being a husband. It's not as important as being a father, but it's important. So we can have all these important roles in our life because they're based on our relationships. They're based on our relationships and our ability to influence other people, hopefully for good, and our ability to be influenced by other people. The fact that I'm a Christian means that I'm influenced by other people who are Christians. I can be influenced by people who are sinners as well. But we hope not to do that, right? As a husband, I'm influenced by one woman who I'm married to. And as a father, I'm influenced by two kids, the two that you see me holding in that picture who are now grown and parents in their own right. Sometimes, you know, it's about the fact that not everybody is going to appreciate our presence in their life. And I think when it's over, changing the facts sometimes involves us coming to some realization as we get older in life to realize that that's just how it's going to be. Not everybody's going to appreciate our presence in their life, which is why if some have argued, and I've always found it kind of comical, but it's completely true, then we should make those people appreciate our absence, which is easy for me, by the way. If people don't appreciate my presence, I'm absolutely completely devoted, dedicated to help them appreciate my absence. There are some important truths because sometimes we are driven to want to make changes based on, I think, some false estimations that other people may have instead of what our heart or our head may be telling us as we look back over our past. Because you're not going to be able to repent of something that belongs to someone else. I mean, there's the rub. I've made plenty of stupid decisions and stupid choices and things that I wish I would have done differently, but I didn't. And now I can look back when it's over and I can change the facts in that I can repent. I can look at somebody else's life and I guess I could make those same determinations for them, but here's what I cannot do for them. And here's what you can't do for somebody else's mistakes either. You can't repent of those. You can be sad about it. You can be sad for them. You can even be wishful if you want. But you can't own it. You can't own it because it just doesn't belong to you.
Did you know it when you came? faster than you thought it would. You're trying harder than you knew you could. It's all in your mind.
And we're up to track number 9. It does go faster than we thought it would. You know that if you're older. And if you're not, you've heard it. You'll learn it. You'll see it. It'll happen to you. I get that we're all influenced by the people who surround us, but I want us to be fanatical about finding value in being better based on the truths that we discover about ourselves. And that's what today's show is all about. It's time for us to come face to face with ourselves. It's time for us to start getting it more right than maybe we have before. It's not about coming face to face with anybody else. It's not about judging somebody else. It's not about being bitter against or towards somebody else. This is our work. It is deeply personal, and it is very, very hard. But it is worth it. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Welcome and greetings inside the Yellow Studio. And we are up to track 10. This is the final track. And the name of this song is What Happens Next. Kind of a fitting finale, don't you think, for today's episode? You've been listening to The Candles. La Candelaria. I'm probably butchering that. I don't speak Spanish or whatever language that is. Italian, I don't know what it is. But it is their 2013 record. $9.99 at iTunes. It's time that I hit the record button today. Again, it's November the 17th, Friday, 2017. 82 degrees here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas today, by the way. You kidding me? We're under a week away from Thanksgiving, and we're still in the 80s. Supposed to cool off this weekend, so we'll see how that goes. Track number 10 is What Happens Next. They are The Candles. I'm going to tell you flat out, you can buy anything they do and you'll be safe, because their stuff is just, it's that great. So enjoy.